My name is Erin Farr, and I'm from Rutgers University. And today I'm going to be talking about my genotyping by sequencing diversity study of big-bracted dogwood cultivars and wild collected accessions. So just an introduction to big-bracted dogwoods, if you're not familiar. We say big-bracted because actually the showy part of the flower are the large bracts. So I'll be talking a lot about bracts during this presentation. First of all, we have Cornus florida, which is native to the eastern United States and very popular. It blooms in the spring. Its bracts can be either white or pink. It has showy fruit, and depending on the cultivar, can have nice fall color as well. So it's really a four-season plant. Unfortunately, it has some disease problems. So Cornus cusa has also become popular recently. It's basically the Asian counterpart. It can also have white or pink bracts. It has showy fruit as well and can have good fall color. And it's native to China, Korea, and Japan. So the purpose of the study was to examine the relationships of breeding material and modern cultivars using the genotyping by sequencing technique, which hadn't been done before with the cultivars. So genotyping by sequencing allows for a lot more SNP and indel discovery. So we had 37 Cornus florida, 75 Cornus cusa, and 9 hybrids between the two. So a hybrid is actually, you can see this is one of the hybrids that came out of the Rutgers breeding program called Hyperion. And then we had 19 wild-collected Cornus florida, 22 Cornus cusa, and then several outgroups. So we used big-bracted dogwoods from Asia as the outgroups for the cusa species. So Hong Kongensis, elliptica, capitata, and then as an outgroup for the floridas, we used the Mexican flowering dogwood, which has these really cool lantern-like bracts. So here's just a map. Oh, no, it got cut off. Here's a map of the Cornus florida wild collected material, where they were originally from. And these accessions came from several arboreta. And then the Cornus cusa wild collected material, we had some from China, Korea, and a few accessions from Japan. So just an overview of genotyping by sequencing. I know almost everyone has done it. everyone's talked about it, but not really gone over. So in case you're not familiar, we're making reduced representation libraries. In my case, I used a double restriction digest, so two different restriction enzymes, and then you size select. And then basically you have to ligate a unique DNA barcode to each accession. So that allows you to pool the samples, and so you can run up to like 150, I chose 48, on a single flow cell of Illumina. And then you use those barcodes to then demultiplex the data into the individual accessions for later processing. So for the data analysis, Cornus florida's reference genome isn't quite ready yet, so I used the GBS SNP crop pipeline to do the SNP discovery and the indel discovery, and it's a reference independent pipeline. And then I also did some additional quality filtering steps, for example, minor allele frequency of greater than 0.05. And then I used the NTS YSPC software to do the neighbor joining tree and the bootstrapping. So for the Cornus florida, I used over 9,000 SNPs, and then SNPs and indels. And then for Cornus cusa, I used over 8,000 SNPs and indels for the analysis. And then I also did a population structure analysis with structure. And then I paired the SNPs down to 1,250 SNPs. And use the admixture model. And then I also use Structure Harvester to determine the K values. So when I analyzed the data initially with all of the accessions, there were very clear separation between the Cornus cusa, the Cornus florida, and then the hybrids and the outgroups, which you can see in yellow. So then I went back and analyzed the data separately for Cornus cusa and Cornus florida to see the relationships better. So this is the dendrogram for Cornus florida, and I'm going to focus on the top part to begin with. So there were a lot of really interesting things that came up, but because of the presentation length, I can only talk about a few. So one of the things that becomes apparent is that there are some groups of cultivars that are basically genetically identical, unfortunately, and in some cases this makes sense. For example, this firebird is actually a variegated sport of Cherokee Brave, and Cherokee Sunset is a variegated sport of Cherokee Chief, so you would kind of expect that. But there isn't a good reason that Sweetwater Red and Cherokee Chief are identical. So there must be some mix-ups in the trade. And these are all actually pink-fracted cultivars, which are highly sought after. And they group together with very nice bootstrap support. In addition, this Carian's Appalachian Blush is a blush cultivar, blush pink. And so then looking at this, these two accessions were actually wild collected from the National Arboretum, and they don't know what color they are. And I would bet that they're actually pink cultivars because of the way that they're grouping in here. They were collected from Missouri with this other accession, and they didn't group with this accession, which is interesting because I found that normally, if they were from the same collection location, they grouped pretty tightly together, but they did not in this case. And this was the only accession that the arboretum had a picture of, and it has actually, I don't know if you can see it, but it has a slightly pink, more pink than you would normally see in a white-fracted crusa. And so I'm pretty sure that these two up here are actually pink-fracted. And it's cool that you can tell that from the dendrogram. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the bottom of the dendrogram. So first of all, we have these three accessions are all basically genetically identical, and they're all double-bracted. And there has been talk in the literature, people have questioned whether or not Pluribracteata and Plana are actually the same thing, and it looks like they are. And this is a picture of Plana. It's very pretty. So unfortunately, it does look like they are. They're basically the same accession. And then these two accessions are Xanthocarpa, which means that they are yellow-fruited when the normal species is red. And you can see that that's interesting. They form their own group with high bootstrap support, but they're also genetically distinct, as you can see by the length of the branch. And this picture is of this 728 accession from the Arnold Arboretum. And then highlighted in blue are the wild-collected accessions. So the bottom half of the dendrogram had more wild-collected accessions, but there really wasn't any clear pattern on geographic, like where they're from geographically and how they grouped, unless they were collected from the same location. And so when I ran structure, you can see that actually the pink bracted accessions all have, so K equals 3 wasn't the optimal value, but it was one of the suggested values. And so you can see the pink bracted all have this green population. And then the next, the double bracted also form their own distinct population. The best, according to the Ivano method, was K equals 23, and there's a lot of admixture, so it's a little bit difficult to interpret. But once again, you can see that all of the pink bracted accessions have this dark green. And Cherokee Princess falls in this because it is very similar to Carian's Appalachian Blush with this blue, even though it's not pink. So now moving on to the Cornus Cusa, unlike Cornus Florida, the wild collected accessions did group by geographic location. And so it's hard, you can't really see the names of the accessions, but that's not as important. So the Chinese accessions separated out from the Japanese and the South Korean accessions. And you can also see this in the structure results. So basically the red population, that might be Variety chinensis, which has been talked about in the literature. A lot of people say that it's better than the species because it doesn't have, it has more reliable flowering, it doesn't have alternate year bearing, and it's apparently a more upright tree, and people think it's just more attractive. And also, there are several cultivars that have been described as being Variety chinensis, and those are highlighted in orange, so it falls pretty well within that group. And so actually, especially these cultivars up here, which are 100% with the red population in Variety chinensis, they're not all of them are being currently marketed as Variety chinensis, but they probably could be. Okay, so now I'm going to talk a little bit about the bottom of this, the dendrogram. So these, once again, are the well-collected accessions. This is a picture of Benefuji, which was actually interesting because it's a pink wild-collected kusa, and the pink kusa are a little bit more rare and sought out after. And so it's interesting because it was collected from the slopes of Mount Fuji. And then looking at the pink accessions, Once again, they group together. Although there seems to be a large number of sessions that are actually identical. So Satomi, Gristmill Pink, Rosabella, Heartthrob, Radiant Rose, and Akatsuki. For Akatsuki, this makes sense because it's a variegated sport of Satomi, but the rest of these shouldn't be this similar. And there has been debate about this as well. About 15 years ago, there was a study that with DNA amplification fingerprinting that showed that Satomi, Rosabella, and Heartthrob were basically identical, and it seems like there are additional cultivars that are also the same, and I think there has probably been a mix-up in the trade. They probably started out as distinct cultivars, but then just got mixed up. So in conclusion, the pink bracted, Cornus florida, and Cornus cusa actually form distinct groups, and there are several cases, unfortunately, of cultivars that are genetically identical but being sold under different names. Wild collected Cornus florida did not separate out based on geographic origin, but there is a distinct variety chinensis within the Cornus cusa that have their own distinct genetic group. So here's some references for all the tools I used and some of the studies I mentioned. And I'd like to acknowledge, first of all the arboreta that provided some of the wild collected material for the study. So the Morton Arboretum, the Arnold Arboretum, the Dawes Arboretum, and the U.S. National Arboretum. And I'd also like to thank the Record Genotyping Lab for all their help, and the Molnar lab crew who maintain the cultivar trial that we have that I was able to get most of the cultivated material from. So do you have any questions? Yes.
So in the varieties that were genetically identical, are you looking forward to kind of exploring as to why or what could happen? Because in the research that I'm helping with, and you just explained, we had very similar issues with sugarcane, where varieties that we thought were traditional wine varieties all match up with the Tamil, which does not make sense. Mm-hmm. So we're wondering, how are you going forward with this?
It's not easy to go through. So like the study that was done like 15 years ago, they had collected from several different nurseries and did find that they were all identical. I don't know what we can really do at this point, but those there are like more cultivars being coming out on the market that are darker pink, so maybe they will phase out. But unfortunately, they're all being sold under different names. Yeah. Yes.
You know more about these dogwoods than I do, but it seems surprising to me that all those native collective ones don't really differentiate based on geographic origin. They're outcrossing species.
Yeah, so actually, so it could be also due to the small, like I only had 19 Cornus florida. But I did see in some other studies that they showed that there really isn't a whole, because the seeds, I think, are bird dispersed, I think there's not as much chance for separation between different populations. As far as like large geographic, like north versus south, east versus west, there's not as much as that compared to the cusa, which have different the countries are a bit separated. Any more questions? We have time for like one more. No. Okay, thank you. Oh, Vinny. Sorry.
Do you see a set of snips of the pink dogwood that you can use like a diagnostic method to test them for seedlings or other future work?
Yeah, so the question was, do I see like a characteristic set of snips with the pink dogwoods? I think I could be doing work with that, and that would be very helpful actually for our breeding program. So it's definitely something that we're thinking about pursuing in the future. There aren't very many pink bracted dogwoods, unfortunately, so we would probably have to make a mapping population, like a biparental mapping population instead of association mapping, because I don't think we get very good, we wouldn't be able to narrow down very far